This morning's reading will be from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 to 15. And it says, "Even though we speak in this way, beloved, we are confident of better things in your case, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints, as you still do. And we want each one of you to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope to the very end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he had no one greater by him to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently endured, had obtained the promise." And the second reading is from James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. And it says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word."
Now, I want you to be very honest with me, okay? This is church, okay? So don't fake it. Don't pretend. If any of this applies to you, I want you to raise up your hands, okay? First question, okay, how long can you wait? How long can you wait? Okay, I'm going to test it. Let's test it. First question, how many of you have gone into a lift, press the button to your floor, then press it again, and press it again, hoping that the lift will come faster and start moving faster? If that's you, just raise your hand. We're many, we do that a lot, especially the A-plus people. We have no patience, we just ta-ta-ta-ta. Come live, where are you? The second one is a very interesting one. Ladies especially, but some of us men do it too. We're at our Tesco, or Sainsbury, or if it's Waitrose, or wherever you shop, and you get to the checkout counter, and the queue is quite long. So you take your place on the back of the queue, and then you look at the next line, and it seems to be moving faster and advancing, so you wheel your cart to the next line. And then you look at your line, and it seems to be doing better. How many of you do that? Ooh, we're in the right place. The third one is for us men, mostly, but some women do it too. So we're on the M25. And you know, M25 can be a big parking lot. So there's traffic, and you're going slowly on your lane. Suddenly, the next lane starts to move a bit faster. You switch your car to that lane. And then the other lane starts to move faster. You switch to that one too. Then you look up and you see your lane that you left is now moving much faster, and you're trying to get back there. How many of you have done that before? All right. No, some of you are not being honest now. Raise your hand if you have done it. Now, for us who drive in Lagos, all of us do it. So all Nigerians who have driven in Lagos, you are guilty of this one. In fact, we drive with our hands on the horn. Pem, 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 pem. We're always making sounds. Whether there's someone disturbing us or not, we're always honing. And it's a kind of way in which we display our impatience. On a more serious note, how many of you have ever prayed for something from God? And you've waited, and you've believed, you've done all the proclamation, you've done all the declaration, you've bound the devil till the devil doesn't even know what to do with himself. You have done faith vows, you have given offering, You have done everything, and yet the prayer hasn't been answered. And you're asking yourself, where is God? Why are you not answering me? If that is you, just wave at me. Nothing to be ashamed of. We are plenty in this category. You see, we live in an interesting world today. An interesting world where everything happens fast. Everything happens in an instant. I remember when I was growing up as a young child in Nigeria, television was from a particular time to a particular time. All right? So I think we start about 6 o'clock in the evening and it ends about 10 o'clock. And at 9 o'clock, they tell us to go to bed. So the remaining 1 hour is for the adults. But today, you just pick up your remote control. You can watch anything on demand. You want to watch news? Pew. You want to watch movies? Pew. In fact, you can select what kind of movies. Do I want love story? Do I want, you know, women? We like action. Do I, you know, want to watch sports? Everything is on demand. And that has built a kind of mindset that is totally contrary to how God thinks or how God works. You see, God is the everlasting God. He has been around forever, and I'm telling you, you can't hurry him. It doesn't matter how much you are desperate, how much you cry, God is not going to be moved by all those. Because he sees more than you see, and he knows more than you know. And he's working out a purpose in your life that is time sensitive or time bound. He knows when it's supposed to happen. Amen? I know what I'm talking about. Let me show you my next slide. In this world, we have what we call instant food. It's very common now. Instant noodles, instant everything, instant coffee. Everybody wants instant that, instant this, instant muscles, instant children, instant wife, instant husband. Ah! You name it. We want it now, now, now. In Nigeria, we say, give it to us, sharp, 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 sharp. Or now, 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 now. I'm telling you something. Don't take your now, now to God. Because now, now, God will just be looking at you and say, what do you mean? It's not in my dictionary. But you know, today I'm talking about kingdom dynamics. And I want to deal with this word a bit for us to understand it. Dynamics simply means processes or ways in which the kingdom operates. And if you want to succeed in your work with God and you want results, you have to learn the dynamics of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is opposed, or the kingdom of the world is opposed to the kingdom of God. How we think in the world is not how the kingdom mind works. And sometimes we must make adjustments. It is so important that the first thing Jesus said, he says, the time is fulfilled. Mark chapter 1 verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So Jesus is telling us something. To access the kingdom, you have to change the way you think. But not just the way you think, because metanoia alone, which is the Greek word for repentance, doesn't quite capture the whole word. There is a word in Hebrew called teshuvah, which means you change your ways. So if you want to access God, you have to come with the spirit and the heart of repentance. Not just the way you think, but the way you act. And so, to understand kingdom dynamics, there is a kind of humbling that needs to take place. You need to just say, oh, I didn't get this one right. I've missed it. I want to tell you that there are times when God comes suddenly. But let me tell you something about the suddenness of God. Because somebody will say, but God came suddenly. I am telling you, every suddenly of God is preceded by a build-up. There is always a build-up to the breakthrough. You may not be aware of it. The Bible says, Jesus will suddenly come to the temple. But you and I know that there was a woman, 84 years old or 86 years, I can't remember how old Anna was, who had been praying since she was maybe in her 20s. And she was praying for Jesus to come. Nobody saw her. But there was a build-up to the breakthrough. Amen? Tell your neighbor, God is a process God. He works with processes. And he will not bypass his prayers for you. It doesn't matter how difficult you think your situation is, God is in charge. And I can tell you, if you are patient, he will give you or get to you what he wants to get to you. It's just that it might not be in the timing that you are expecting it. Because your timing may be completely wrong. Amen? So, let us do some comparisons between the kingdoms of this world and God's kingdom. Number one, in the kingdom of this world, they tell you, put yourself first. You are number one. How many have ever heard that before? You are number one. There's nothing farther from the truth in the kingdom. You are not number one. You are not number one. The Bible says, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's number one. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. You can't be number one. You are not number one. Sorry if I burst your bubble. God is number one. And he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. So you're at least number three or number four or something like that on the list. Wherever you find yourself, just take it. That's where God wants you. We're not number one. No matter how much we want to be number one. The world says to be a leader, you must climb over people, use people, oppress them, arrogate power to yourself. But the kingdom says, if you want to be a leader, just be a servant. Just serve. The way forward is service. You agree with me, sister? God bless you. It's the truth. If you want to be promoted in the kingdom, learn how to serve. If you want to go up in the kingdom, learn how to humble yourself. I always tell our people, the way up is down. Yes. Yes. I know it goes counter to what the motivational speakers tell us. And the world system tells us. If you want to increase in wealth, according to the world, you hold on to what you have. You hoard what you have. You take from other people. You know, when I was growing up, I used to read comics. And there was a character in one of these comics called Jasper the Grasper. Oh, who knows Jasper the Grasper? If you know Jasper the Grasper, let's just wave at me. Thank you. Jasper, he was not a nice guy. Jasper had a lot of wealth. But he looked like the picture of poverty. Because his clothes were torn. He wore a suit, but it was a very old suit. And he had, you know, marks all over it. The guy was stingy to himself. And yet he was surrounded by so much wealth. Isn't that interesting? The kingdom says, if you want to increase in wealth, give away what you have. Give. And it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, right over. Shall men put in your bosom. For the measure which you give, it shall be measured back to you or given back to you. In the world, they say, I will believe it when I see it. I will believe it when I see it. The kingdom says, you believe first, then you will see. It's counter. The world says, somebody offended you, get even. Seek revenge. Fight your cause. The kingdom says, forgive them. Ooh, that's sometimes very painful. When God says, forgive somebody who has done you wrong, you say, I don't know whether you have been there before. When I was growing up, I wasn't always a nice pastor like this. Okay? I had a bit of a life. And one of the things I learned how to do, because I didn't develop like this quickly. I was a smallish guy. So I had to learn how to fight. And I was a bit of a brawler. In fact, if you enter a fight with me, the only guarantee is that you are going to lose. Why do I know that? Because I will never give up. You can beat me, oh, I will still come back the second day to fight. I come back the third day till life frustrates you. So, in one of those moments, I learned something interesting about fighting. when people come and I'm trying to fight because I really need to fight this person, I need to get my own back, and somebody comes and tries to stop me from fighting that person, and then, you know, you're struggling. You know how I always end up? I end up crying. Why am I crying? I'm not crying because I'm offended. I'm crying because they didn't allow me to fight back. How many of you have been there before? You know, you just start crying because I feel so helpless. Oh, why did you stop this fight? The kingdom says you forgive. You're not supposed to fight back. You're not supposed to do this thing. God says vengeance is mine. Give me space to react for you. Hello? The world says you only love those who love you. Love people who love you. In fact, there was a song we used to dance to when we were younger. I told you I wasn't always a pastor. So it's like, what have you done for me lately? You know the song. I'm not going to sing it in church. So, what have you done for me lately? The whole idea is this. I'm not going to love you unless you love me. What's in it for me? But the Bible says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. It's not saying love your friends. Love those you can tolerate. It says your enemies. Ha. That's hard, though. I'm just telling you. So the kingdom dynamics are very, very interesting. And it's good to understand these things and approach God's kingdom and approach God's work and approach God's ways with this understanding. You know, in Psalm 25, it's one of my favorite scriptures. I always pray, show me your ways, O Lord. Show me your ways, O Lord. The Bible says God made his ways known to Moses and his acts show to Israel. And people who know the ways of God, they are not frustrated by God. Because you understand God is working out his purpose. And you have a kind of peace about yourself. Jesus often used parables to describe the kingdom. And there's a parable in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And it says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately it puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I want to read you another scripture very quickly. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time, harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Seed time, harvest. So look at this beautiful picture here. I imagine if the what happened to this picture? the fruits on this tree are on this little plant here. If I offered you, would you take it? Would you take it? No, you won't. You will think there's something wrong. See, that one shouldn't be bearing fruit. But if you look at that tree has developed capacity. It has strength. And that's why it can carry fruit. And sometimes that's what God is doing. God is working out in you capacity to carry the fruit. To be able to bear the responsibility and the things that come with bearing fruit for the kingdom. And sometimes you are complaining that you want your fruit now. But your fruit now is not going to work for you. It's going to cost you to be... Anyway, don't let me use the word. You know, you can finish it yourself. This morning, I just want to encourage somebody. You are in a process. The fact that God hasn't answered you does not mean that God won't answer you. Like we always say, it's like a cliche. Denial or delay is not denial. God is still going to come through for you. Say amen to that. Amen. I came to tell you to hold tight, to hold on. Never stop believing. Always keep expecting. Because the God who promised you can never, ever fail. Now, before I jump into the story of Abraham, I want to talk to you about time. The Bible says seed, time, harvest. I don't know, because I tried to study this in the Hebrew properly. I don't know whether the seed time is seed time harvest. I think it's more seed time and then harvest. But there is a presupposition or an understanding that between seed and harvest, there's a time dimension. Is that correct? Can we assume that? Because to be honest with you, if I told you that there is a tree that if you plant it today, it will give you seed today, will you take that tree and eat the fruit? You will tell me, Pastor Charles, that's GM. It's not just GM, it's GM squared. Or GM multiplied by to the power of 10 or 20. This is not natural. I'm not going to take this fruit. But in some instances, that was what we're doing with life. We are expecting fruit from immature seed. It's not going to work. So, God is never late. Let's just put that on record. God is never late. God is always on time. His time may not be your time, but his time is correct time. That's a word of wisdom. His time may not be your time, but his time is the correct time. Theologically, we always say God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. God is omnipotent, that is all powerful. God is omniscient, that God knows everything. But I'm going to add one more today. God is omnitemporal. That means God controls time. He lives in time. He lives outside time. He doesn't see time as past, present, and future, because everything to him is continuum. And God can take past and put it in the future, and he can take future and put it in the past. Why is this important? It's important for somebody this morning. You thought you messed up. You thought you had blown your chances somewhere in your past. But God can make that past to be of no effect in your future. And then there's somebody in this room that somebody has said to you, your future, this is how it's going to be, because of something you did in the past. And God says, I take that future and I put it in your past. You will never encounter that in Jesus' name. Somebody should thank God for that one. Somebody should thank God for it. It's a word for somebody. God is omnitemporal. He's outside time and he can intervene in time. And he can switch time the way he likes. He's God. Amen? In fact, let me help you. There is nothing that you are encountering today, no matter how difficult it is, that God has not made a provision for. Hear what I'm about to tell you. God's provision always precedes your predicament. Please, let me say it in simple English. God always makes provision for whatever is going to happen in your future before it ever happens. Are you with me? God is not trying to solve your problem. He has already solved the problem. It's for you to access it. It's for you to wait on him, to understand how he wants to do it. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Our provision for salvation was made long before 2,000 years ago. That should make you happy. Tell anybody, there's an answer for my problem. And it is somewhere in the history of God, somewhere. Just thank God for that. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. I want to quickly delve into the life of Abraham. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15, Rita read for us earlier on so beautifully. The Bible says, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. People of God, if you read it like this, you won't get it. How I just read it now is not the correct way. Let me read it for you properly. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. It didn't happen in an instant, and he had to endure many things. He went through many things before he got the promise. And I want to tell you, the bigger your promise, the bigger the opposition. The bigger the destiny, the bigger the opposition. And you have to walk through it by his grace, by his power. But you keep going. Tell your neighbor, keep going. Let me run through a few of the things Abraham had to go through. Number one, Abraham left his familiar environment, his nation, his family, to go to a land that he did not know where, and did not know how, and did not know when. Most times when we read it, we only read one dimension. He left going, not knowing where. But he didn't even know when he was going to get there. He had no clue. How many of us will leave and just keep going, and they ask you, where are you going? You say, I don't know. When are you going to get there? I don't know. But I'm going anyway. People are going to look at you and say, are you well? But that's exactly what Abraham did. He set out on a journey that he didn't know the destination of. He didn't have a clue. Secondly, he didn't know when he was going to get there. But he went nevertheless. Amen? Sometimes we follow God. We have to follow him without knowing where or when. We just follow him. We know, okay, he will take us where he needs to take us. He will get us there. It's a question of trust. Number two, Abraham had to endure the paradox of barrenness, promise, and time. It's a paradox. Here is a man who has been given a great promise. You are going to be the father of many nations. And then he has a wife that is barren. And then they were getting older every single day. In fact, they were getting so old that Abraham thought, oh, come on. This is no longer happening. It's part of working with God. There are times where you live in the paradox of faith. God has given you a promise. Your circumstances don't line up with it at all. There's a challenge to your circumstance. Your circumstance is telling you it's not going to happen. What do you do in those moments? You still have to trust God that what he said will come to pass. Even though it sounds and looks impossible, I know the God I serve will not fail me. And even if you have to, what's the word? Fake that one till you make that one. I think it's a good one to fake and make. Do you understand what I'm saying? Keep saying it. I keep saying it. Lord, I know you are going to get me there. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know you'll get me there. Amen? He will get you there. He will get you there. In Jesus' name. Abraham had to endure opposition, both internal and external. He had opposition from a guy called Lot, who was his nephew. Trying to help the guy. The guy became too big and was beginning to harass Abraham. Sometimes when you have a promise, your worst people, your worst enemies are members of your own household. And you have to understand that some of them will irritate you. Some of them will not believe in you. Some of them will try to talk you out of the vision of God. And you have to keep on trusting God. He also had a problem with a man called Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh liked Sarah. Oh, Lord. I told him at 11 o'clock service, that's where I will lose my cool. I may be a pastor, but I will lose my... Anyway, don't let me say the wrong thing. Because... Don't touch my Sarah. Don't touch my wife. That one, we cannot have a discussion on. And you can imagine Abraham, the most powerful king on the earth, was not trying to take his wife. My God, I don't know what kind of prayer he prayed, but he must have prayed some very dangerous prayers. And God went to Pharaoh and told him, you are a dead man. We have to recognize opposition from outside and within. Trying to kill that promise in your life. But you have to keep on believing and keep on trusting. Because the God who promised you is faithful and he will not let you down. Abraham battled hopelessness. He battled hopelessness. Somebody, when you read the scriptures, especially Romans, you would think Abraham was always a man who just believed. No. In Genesis chapter 15, when God came to him and introduced himself to him, Abraham said, You, God, what can you go to do for me? What can you even do for me? See, I'm still a man who has no child. And God told him, what did you just say? Come outside. Come outside. And he took him outside his tent and said, look to the scars. And he looked to the sky. He said, look at the stars. Number them. If you can number them, that's how many children you're going to have. Do you know what that was? God was resetting his brain. The man was in a place of depression. He wasn't feeling it. He was feeling despondent. He said, Eliezer is going to inherit my properties. I don't have a son. Sometimes we go through difficult times when we're believing God for something. Sometimes we even lose hope. Sometimes we feel, oh, God has abandoned us. It is part of life. But I want to tell you something. Change your perspective. Get a view of God again and say, God, I know you are faithful. I may not know how, I may not know when, I may not know how you're going to do it, but I still trust you. Hallelujah. I still trust you. Don't get depressed. Get out there and open your mouth and begin to confess it. Begin to walk and confess it. God has said I'm going to be a father of many nations. God has said I'm going to be a father of many nations. God has said I'm going to be fruitful. God has said I'm going to multiply. God has said I'm going to be... Whatever God has said, keep on saying it. Even if everything around you says no. We are prophets. Are you with me? And there's power in our spoken word. I want to say to you this morning, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but the word of God in your mouth is as powerful as God's word in his mouth. And when you speak it with conviction and faith, it comes to pass. The devil is a liar. Maro kasia takabaya. Are we here? Abraham carried a name that meant he could be ridiculed. His name, God changed his name from Abraham. That was okay. Exalted father. It can mean anything. But God says, no, you are not exalted father. You are a father of many nations. You are a father of multitudes. So whenever Abraham, they asked him, what is your name? And Abraham said, my name is Abraham. The next thing they do is they look behind him. Where are they? Where are these children? Where are these descendants? You don't have anybody following you. You have nobody. Amen. Nobody. You're just on your own. Your name becomes a ridicule. The promise becomes a ridicule. People say, look at this believing God. He hasn't got anything to show for it. He hasn't got anything to show for it. But I'm telling you something. In those moments, lift up your head again and say, I know in whom I have believed. And I've entrusted this to him, and I know somehow he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let me start preaching. I'm enjoying myself so much. Abraham, one day, they got a bit tired of waiting for God, which happens to a lot of us. And Sarah is a very, I don't know how to, Sarah is like a CEO. Even though she was COO, but she acted like a CEO. Very, very focused woman with plan. She's an A-type personality. Sarah was not gentle. There's no way you will see that Sarah in the Bible and think she was gentle. She was not gentle. Abraham must have been living in awe of Sarah. So one day, Sarah comes to Abraham and says, Popsy Abraham, you know we have been waiting for God for a long time. God spoke to you 21 or so many years ago, whatever. And this child hasn't come. Me, you know, I can't have any child. I'm now old, 80 something. It's not going to happen. But you know, have you checked out Hagar? Hagar is not bad. She's fine. And she's young. Daddy. And daddy said, what a great idea. Sarah said, look, she will have the child. I will keep the child. It will be my child. And in those days, it was a common thing. Surrogacy was common. So he said, go ahead. And then they went and had an Ishmael. And Ishmael became a problem. Ishmael is still a problem. We're still struggling with Ishmael today. Oh God, have mercy on Ishmael. You know what the Bible says? God gave that guy his name. His name is God will hear. Ishmael, God will hear. And I want to tell you, I know that I know that I know God is going to hear concerning Ishmael. And Ishmael will find Jesus. And Ishmael will get saved. I believe that the Arabs and all those guys in the Middle East are coming to the Lord. I believe God will open their eyes. I have a real passion for the Arabs. I have a love for Israel and a love for the Arabs. You cannot love one without the other. They are children of Abraham. And I believe that God will hear concerning Ishmael. And the sons of Keturah will also come to the Lord. All those guys in the Middle East, I'm waiting for you. Come to the Lord. I'm calling them by faith. Come to Jesus. Sorry, don't get me off my subject. This is one of my passions. I love evangelism and I love preaching in nations, especially nations that don't know the Lord. So Abraham had to endure fleshly decision. And the flesh was harassing him. Flesh harassed his family. Flesh harassed everything. But I want to tell you something. Even though you may have made a fleshly decision, it still does not negate the promises of God. And it doesn't cancel the promises of God. You may have to live with the consequences of the decision, but it doesn't cancel the promise of God. Amen? Why don't you say, God, thank you? That's a break. That's a relief for somebody. Because you thought the mistake you made is going to stop the promise from coming to pass. No, it won't stop the promise. God is bigger than all that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, having said all these things, I mean, my slide is not working, but I can continue without the slide. I want to share some things with you about promises and about God. I want you to understand that according to the Hebrew and the Greek, there are some words that are so interesting that describe patience and endurance. So there's a word that we call sablanut. Sablanut. And sablanut means to be burdened. To be burdened. So the Bible is telling us, or the Hebrew word tells us, that when you are believing God for a promise and you are and it's being delayed, it becomes like a heavy burden. All right? But by the grace of God, God can help you to carry that burden too. But what the Bible is telling us is that it is not easy. God acknowledges that delay sometimes makes it hard for people. God knows that. He knows that. Then we have this word, Erek Apaim or Erek Ruach, which speaks about long breath or long nose. And for you and I, especially those of us that are married, you really cannot be a successful husband or wife if you are not patient. Hello? Okay. Let me tell you something you need to learn how to do. Long breath. So somebody has come, your wife or your husband has said something that offends you. Instead of you reacting, take a deep breath. Hold it for about 2, 5, 10 seconds. Then let it out slowly. You will not react. You will feel better. Your brain, the adrenaline that rushed your brain would have come back down. So you won't react badly. I know this story because it's very practical. Some people will tell you count to 10. I don't know whether it's true you count to 10, but I just know one thing. The Bible says, take a deep breath and let it out slowly. I was telling the story of a friend of mine who, were in the creative industries together. I was the director of the client service area, and he was the director of the creative side. And he used to produce work. He was a brilliant guy. But you know, I'm sorry, all of you creatives in the house, sometimes you can be a bit wacky. Yeah, I can say it with all authority because I work with a lot of creative people. And sometimes they don't think like us. And they don't approach things like us. And this guy was so mercurial. He was so hot-tempered. Sometimes when we take work to him and we say, oh, brother, there is a little amendment that the client requested here. It's a small amendment. He may take the work from you and tear it up. He was that mercurial. So I used to think about myself, how do I manage this guy? Because sometimes he has destroyed work that we have spent 3 months producing. He destroyed in one go. And in those days, we didn't have computer to do anything. Everything was manual. So we have to start rebuilding. So there was a particular day, I went to him, and I knew this work will make him angry. I knew. So I told him, I said, brother, we're going to go for a drive. Let's go for a drive. I want to show you some things. So we got in the car. I told him to drive. So we started driving around town. I was telling long stories. None of them really was important, but I just told him stories and stories and stories. And eventually, I told him, I said, we have a problem. The client wants this done. The client wants that done. He said, no problem. Let's go back to the office. We went back to the office. He did the work. Within a few minutes, I gave it back to me. I said, I've done it. Then before I left him, he called me. I said, Charles, come back. Who told you to take me on a drive? I said, I just thought about it because I know how you are. You always get angry. He said, I think I've learned a lesson. From now on, when I want to get angry, I will take a drive. And you know, I'm not joking. It became his habit. When we see him pick up his key, we know he's angry. We know. And he will just jump in his car and drive off. I'll tell them, calm down, he's coming back. Let him go. Wherever he needs to go, let him go. He's still coming back. When he comes back, he'll be smiling. He said, where is the job? And then he will do it. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to react instantly. You don't have to react instantly. Take a deep breath. Everybody take a deep breath. Hold it. Then release it. My God. The world changes. Your perspective changes. Amen. Then there's a word called cool. Cool. It's C-H-U-L in Hebrew, but it's cool. It's pronounced cool. And this word means to ride, to twirl. It means to travel. And for me, I understand this word very well. Because let me give you an example. If you are eating your favorite, what do you like eating? Whatever, chicken or beef or whatever. And you are so enjoying it, then you suddenly bite your tongue. Ooh, you know that thing is very painful. But you don't shout. Most of us don't shout when we bite. We just, Or the worst one is when you stomp your feet in the dark and there's nobody around you. You know you don't shout. You have the pain. You say, but you don't shout. If there was somebody around, you would shout, because you want sympathy. But when there's nobody around, you keep it to yourself and you hold it in. In the African context, it makes a lot of sense to me because I know what they always tell us. They will say something like, you have to have the capacity to pull the pain in and don't let it come out. Don't let it, frazzle you. So in our language, I'm sorry, those of you that can't speak Yoruba, I will try and explain it. Yoruba says, Oni amumora. That means he can hold it to himself. He can hold it in. And this is exactly what the Bible is saying. That when you are going through patience, you have to learn how to hold it in. Amen? Hold it in. Tell your neighbor, hold it in. Amen. 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 Let me try to wrap up. There are many people in the Bible that had to wait on God patiently before they got what they were looking for. I can start with Caleb. Caleb was 45 years old when he wanted to cross into the promised land. That promise was aborted for a season, but he had to wait another 40 years to enter that promise. 40 years. Okay, that didn't shock you. Let me talk about Noah. Noah did not receive the call of God until he was 500 years old. That is, there's nobody here that is 500. And if you're 500, I want to know you. 500 years old, the call of God came to him. It took him 100 years to build the ark. 100 years before the rains came. People of God. A lot of people have run away after 20 years, 30 years. 100? That's Noah. How about Anna? Anna was going every year to Shiloh, and Peninnah was laughing at her every year until God answered her. How about Israel as a nation. Let me talk to you about Israel as a nation. Israel, in AD 70, Jerusalem was sacked. And Israel went into exile. Over a period of about 120 years, the whole of Israel was emptied out. And they were scattered all over the world. And you know, Israel was without a homeland for 2,000 years. God promised them that he would return them, but it took them 2,000 years to see that promise come to pass. In the meantime, Israel developed a national anthem called Hativa. And they began to sing about hope, that there will be one day we are going to return to our land. That is our hope. Today, according to history and time, May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation again. And I want to tell you, I'm not a politician. I don't care what the politicians are saying. I can tell you, God put Israel in that land. Nobody can take them out of that land. I'm telling you where I stand. It's scripture. It's scripture. God said, no one will put you again once I bring you back to that land. I'm not saying Israel is a good nation, is a bad nation. Mm-mm. I'm just saying what God said about Israel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are one of those people today that is going through a difficult time because of a promise that is in your life, you are struggling, the devil has come to attack you and to tell you it's not going to come to pass, let me share with you some promises from God. The Bible says in the book of Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, will not bring it to pass? Has he spoken, will not make it good? God cannot fail you. God will not fail you. Whatever he said, you can bank it as history. It's going to come to pass. It may not be in the time that you are expecting it, but he will bring it back and bring it to pass in his own time. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, for as rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return to it void, but the water the earth and make it bring forth and flourish, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I send it to do, and it will prosper in what I please. God speaks, it comes to pass. God doesn't need to check whether his word is going to come to pass. He knows it is going to come to pass. Are you going to believe him? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You have need of endurance. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture in the book of James. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I want to bless you with one other scripture. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, the Bible says, there is no God like you who acts for those who wait for him. God will wait, will act for you if you wait for him. Don't run ahead of God. Don't rush ahead of God. You know, we have this. I'm a pastor that preaches about the value I take it by force. But I began to learn a little bit about this force of God. Sometimes it's not what we're thinking. Sometimes you are taking it by force, but it's not God who gave you that force. That's your own force. Amen? Some things you just have to let God work it out. Let him work it out. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you will do it. You said it, you will do it. I rest in that. I will not be completely, you know, upfront if I don't tell you that Jesus is the perfect waiter. How do I know this? The Bible says that in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand side till I make your enemies your footstool. All right? Jesus accomplished everything on the cross, died, rose from the dead, and then he ascended to heaven. How many years has he been waiting? Do you know that Jesus is waiting in heaven? He's waiting. He's waiting for his bride to come. And he has waited for how many years? 2,000 years. Beat that. Amen. Beat that. We can all take encouragement from that. Amen? He will not let you down. Amen. He will not fail in you. He has never failed. He will never fail. He can never, ever, ever fail. He will not fail. What he said, he will do. What he promised, he will bring to pass. I want you to know this morning, the devil is a liar. God, who promised you, will bring it to pass. If you believe it, give him a loud hallelujah in this place. Come on, come on. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. I want you to know, you are not alone. You may be going through it, but God is watching over his word to perform in your life. Hallelujah. Is the promise still in you? Guess what is coming to pass? Guess what is coming to pass? In the fullness of time. And the Bible says, hallelujah, I love this scripture. God makes it all beautiful in his own time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God does it, it is beautiful.